Hi everyone, welcome to Cloud Cover. I'm Chris Reisner. Today I'm joined by fellow team member Noel Bundick. How's it going, Noel?
Doing great, Chris.
Awesome. And today our special guest is Sean McKenna. Sean, would you like to introduce yourself and tell people what you're here to talk about?
Sure. So my name's Sean McKenna. I'm a product manager in the Azure Compute team, and I'm the product owner for Azure Container Instances, which is a new service that we shipped in public preview last week, and basically makes it really easy to spin up containers in the Azure cloud. We think the fastest and easiest way to run containers in any public cloud.
Awesome. I'm super excited about this and can't wait for you to show it to us.
All right. So we'll start off with just a little bit of an overview of kind of what the idea behind the service is. I mentioned it's sort of the fastest and easiest way to run containers in the cloud. Containers have become very popular for both developers and IT professionals as the sort of the easiest way and the most productive way to package up code and dependencies into an immutable image that can be deployed out into either, you know, onto your laptop or into a cloud environment or anywhere else, and it runs the same way everywhere, right? And so that's a really powerful concept, kind of eliminates that whole works on my machine problem that was always an issue with developers and operations in the past. But to date, when you wanted to run a container, you had to do it in the context of something else, right? You had to spin up a virtual machine, or you had to set up like a container orchestrator, or you had to adopt some sort of higher level PaaS platform.
Right.
And so what we said was, hey, containers are becoming ubiquitous as kind of this core piece of infrastructure. Why don't we just add it to Azure in terms of, you know, our infrastructure components? Mm-hmm. So in the same way that we have virtual machines, now we have containers as a core building block that you can use to either, you know, use them directly like people use virtual machines for, or build higher level services on top.
So containers as a service almost?
Yeah, you can think of it that way, absolutely. And so that gets you out of having to manage VMs. We take care of all of the underlying VM hosts and patching them and making sure you don't have to worry about capacity of your VMs.
Mm-hmm.
And then because containers have this very app-centric view where you really want to cater the amount of resources that you're giving to the container based on what the application inside needs to do, we allow you to customize the size of the container that you want. And we bill you by the second based on that resource request. So you get really close control over the cost of running that container.
Do those size capabilities line up with what we would normally see in VMs in Azure, or is it even more minute as far as what you can control?
Yeah, so in VMs in Azure have preset SKUs, right? So there's different series, the F series, D series, and all of those have kind of different permutations of CPU and memory based on the workload. And so we give you lots of options with those VM SKUs, but it's still not fully customizable.
Yep.
And so what we've done with container instances is you can just tell us how many CPU cores do you need and how much memory do you need in terms of, you know, number of gigabytes, and we'll give you that exact request. And so you don't have to work off of a set of predefined SKUs that we've created.
Very cool.
And then the last thing is, you know, again, just in terms of being able to work with existing containers, we enable deployment from Docker Hub, which is, you know, the most popular sort of container repository, as well as our Azure Container Registry. So if you want to have your containers be stored in a private registry, you can have them in ACR and then deploy them directly into Azure Container Instances from there. So they're available today in public preview. Currently, we support Linux containers. Windows containers will be coming in a matter of a couple of weeks.
Okay.
We're just working out some final kinks on the Windows side. And the experience for deploying Windows containers is effectively exactly the same as deploying Linux containers, which is really, really powerful.
Very cool.
You can do it from the CLI, from the portal, and from Azure Resource Manager templates. So again, first class citizen in the Azure resource model, and so everything that you can do with other Azure resources, you can do with container instances. And the last thing I'll point out here is that when you run containers inside a virtual machine, there is some level of isolation between those containers in terms of resource isolation and dependency isolation.
Mm-hmm.
But security experts will tell you that it's not fully hardened against a sort of hostile multi-tenant kind of scenario.
Right.
If you've got somebody next to you that is trying to break out of the container and get to some of your data, they could potentially do that.
Right. Mm.
So with Azure Container Instances, we're providing you with hypervisor level isolation. So the same level of isolation that you get with a virtual machine, but with a container and with the sort of the startup times that you would expect from a container. So sort of the best of both worlds between the VM level security and container sort of ease of use and startup times.
Very awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. And then the last slide I'll show before we jump into actually looking at what the product looks like is we've been very explicit in the way that we think about container instances in that we're not building an orchestration API. Mm. There's a number of different popular orchestration platforms out there, Kubernetes, Docker Swarm, Mesosphere DCOS, our own Service Fabric. The world doesn't need another container orchestrator, right?
Right.
And so we think of container instances as being that core building block in terms of a piece of infrastructure that container orchestrators could build on top of.
Okay.
And so what we've done to sort of bootstrap that conversation is release what we're calling the ACI connector for Kubernetes, which basically allows you to connect your Kubernetes cluster to Azure Container Instances and use Azure Container Instances as another way to deploy those containers. So if you imagine you have a cluster of virtual machines, but then you want to burst out into adding a few additional containers because you've got some spiky traffic coming in, you don't want to necessarily scale out to add more VMs and then deploy those containers on top and then have to scale the VMs back in. It's just going to be 30 seconds of traffic. Spin me up 100 containers using container instances, have those take on some of the traffic, and then delete those off when you're done.
Is it possible you might use Kubernetes just on top of container instances?
Yeah, so we think there's probably going to be two scenarios eventually where in some cases, if you're just getting started, for example, you want to play around with Kubernetes, but you don't want to necessarily sign up for 3, 4, 5 VMs just to get started, that we would offer you sort of a hosted Kubernetes API that could work on top of container instances so that you could use the Kubernetes API and scheduling capabilities, but really only be paying based on the number of containers that you're deploying. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to really easily get started, and for smaller workloads would I think be quite powerful.
Right.
The other one is the one that I just mentioned, which is kind of this spiky workload kind of scenario where VMs for a stable, well-known workload are still going to be cheaper than container instances because we're charging, by virtue of taking you out of the business of VM management, giving you this faster startup time, there is a bit of a premium for container instances on top of what the equivalent VM resource would be, because it's higher level of abstraction. And so if you understand your workload and it's stable and you kind of know how many VMs you need and you can optimize them, get high utilization, then that makes sense to have kind of your core pool of VMs in your cluster. But then for those cases where it's like, I just got posted on Slashdot or Hacker News and now I'm getting this spike of traffic, I just want to spin up enough containers to sort of handle that short burst of traffic and then spin them back down and only pay for, they were only up for 3 or 4 minutes. I didn't want to wait for, because it's going to take me 3 or 4 minutes to spin up all of those VMs, right? And so we think those kinds of hybrid scenarios are also going to be quite powerful.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that means you don't have to have a cluster of the full size for your maximum workload.
That's right.
To sustain that, and which would be very expensive.
Exactly, because that's what we see customers do today is, orchestrators can help you get really high levels of utilization out of your VMs, but because people are worried about those spiky cases, they don't really want to run their VMs at 80% or 90% utilization because then if they do get this spike, they can't spin up those VMs faster enough.
There's no safety net for them. It's just your cluster's over capacity, right?
Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. So this would allow them to drive higher utilization of their core VM resources, but then have this as you say, as their safety net for cases if they get that kind of spiky traffic.
Cool.
So, cool. I think that's enough slides, right?
I think so. Let's go to some demos.
Take a look at some demos. All right, so I'm here in the Azure Cloud Shell. This is the in-browser CLI that we shipped at Build this year. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, this is actually built on top of Azure Container Instances.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
So when you're using the Azure Cloud Shell, basically you're getting a Docker image running behind the scenes inside the Azure infrastructure, and we just connect up a WebSocket to give you this sort of I/O experience from within the browser.
Super cool. So a lot of people have been using Azure Container Instances
not
even knowing
it. Exactly, exactly. So we use this as kind of a way to dog food the service, work out some of the kinks, and now we're providing it as a public API for people to use.
Great.
So with that, let's take a look at how you create one of these. So I mentioned that this is a first-class citizen in Azure, which means that it's a first-class citizen within the Azure CLI. So if you go and run the Azure CLI these days, you'll see here the container module for managing container instances. And what I can do is just do az container create, give my container a name. We'll do Hello World, because that's what you do when you're showing off a new product. I mentioned that we support deployment from both Docker Hub as well as private registries like the Azure Container Registry. In this case, I'm using an image that's up on Docker Hub in a repo that we manage. I'm then going to give it a public IP address because this is something I want to be able to allow external clients to access. Mm-hmm. And then, again, because it's an Azure resource, I'm going to put it in a resource group, right? And so if I go and fire that off, within a few seconds, I'll get back a JSON response that looks like what people are used to seeing if they deal with Azure Resource Manager frequently. And you can see in here some of the values that I provided, so the image name, the name of the container, as well as some of the things that we're going to default you to if you don't provide anything. Mm-hmm. So I asked for a public IP address, we're going to open port 80 for you. I didn't specify the resources that I wanted, so we're going to default you to one core and 1.5 gigs of memory. And I'll show in a second kind of how we can tweak that a little bit. And you'll also notice in here some of the other things that you can do in terms of configuring your container. So for people that are used to using like the Docker CLI, mm-hmm. for example, you might be familiar with passing in environment variables or overriding the command line. All of that stuff you can do here. And so if I have my container runs off of some specific environment variable, I can pass that in.
So this is really like running Docker Run on your local machine, but it's hosted in the cloud and you didn't have to set up any of the infrastructure, right?
Yep, exactly right. Yep. And it's it's integrated with the Azure CLI because we think of it as a kind of a core Azure resource.
Very nice.
So after having talked about it for a little bit, it should be probably up and running. So I'll go ahead and list out the set of containers that I have in this resource group. And you can see it's moved from where it was initially in this creating state. Now it's in a succeeded state. And here's my IP address. So if I go and grab this IP and copy it, it's always the trickiest part of the demo. I think I missed a digit there, so we'll just add that. And there's the container up and running. I didn't have to set up any VMs. I didn't have to adopt any kind of higher level service. I literally just said, here's my container, Azure, please run it for me. Give me a public IP address so that my clients can hit it. And so, again, within seconds, I can have my container up and running. I could have customers hitting it.
That was fast.
Yeah. So I briefly alluded to the idea that I could set specific resource requirements, right? So let's take a look at what that would look like. So I'll do another create request. In this case, I'm going to use Nginx, which is a popular container out on Docker Hub. Provide that image name. Again, I'm going to ask for a public IP address. And then what I'm going to provide, which I didn't provide last time, is the CPU and memory switches. And in this case, the default we do is 1, 1.5. In this case, I'll ask for 2 cores and 5 gigs of memory. And then again, I'll put it in a resource group. And once again, pretty quick to spin up. If I go ahead and list those containers out, see it's still in the creating state, but you'll notice here, whereas the first container I created was 1, 1.5, this one's going to spin up with 2 and 5. And this one, Nginx is a little bit larger, so it sometimes takes a few minutes to get or a few seconds more to get spun up, but there it goes. And
that was still very
still
quick.
Still pretty quick, right?
I mean, I'd still be going through options for what the VM if I was going to create a VM.
Exactly, right. And so there it is. So again, within, I don't know what that was, 15 seconds maybe, container spun up. And in this case, I've asked for more resources, and so my application can grow out to that resource pool that I requested. And then the last thing that I'll show just in terms of pure Azure Container instances before we look at what the Kubernetes integration looks like is integration with Azure Container Registry. Right? So in these cases, I've been pulling down public images from Docker Hub. So anybody could get to those images. But if I'm working inside of an enterprise, for example, a lot of times that's my IP. I don't want to have that out in a public repository. And so that's where we offer the Azure Container Registry as an option for storing those images. And so what I'm going to do is same basic AZ container create command, provide a name. Let's call this ACR Hello World. and I'm going to provide an image. And here, whereas when I'm providing the Docker Hub images, I'm not providing a fully qualified URI because that's just inferred. Mm-hmm. If it's not provided, in this case, I will. And so I think mine is called ACI demo ACR and ACI ACR. If I remember these names correctly. So that's the image that's out on the Azure Container Registry. And then I'm just going to provide a password for it. And I've helpfully stored this away in a environment variable, so you don't have to see me try to type a crazy password. Again, I will ask for a public IP address and put it in that resource group. Again, it spins up pretty quickly. Go back and list out my containers. Be in the creating state for a few seconds. But it's, in this case, pulling down securely from the container registry based on that password that I provided. We do a couple of little inferences there based on some of the defaults that the Azure Container Registry does in terms of the username for the for the registry, as well as the login server. We can sort of infer that from the URI of the image. But those parameters are there if you need to for other private registries. And so we can once again go and grab this IP. And there we go. So there's the container that I had from the container registry. Again, sped up in a matter of seconds, but pulled down from that private location. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the core of Azure Container Instances. And really what we think people are going to use this for in terms of direct invocation, before we get into kind of how you would integrate it with something like Kubernetes, is, you know, short running tasks, things that you know you don't want to spin up a VM for. You just want to run a task for 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. You know, CI pipelines, for example, where you want to have Jenkins spin up a container to run a build or run some tests and then spin it down. And then these types of really simple applications, right? But once you get into, okay, I'm building a more complex application, I need to have multiple containers that are coordinating as part of my application. I might be doing some microservices style architecture. Azure Container Instances by itself is probably going to be, just like with trying to do things with VMs by themselves, possible, but probably more difficult than you would like. And so that's where we think integrating with something like Kubernetes or other orchestration platforms is going to be interesting. And so what we've done, actually, let me show this first. As I mentioned before, we have released as basically an experiment at this point, the ACI connector for Kubernetes. So this is a project that's out on GitHub. It's already getting pretty active usage. You can see it's up to 90 stars, which is not bad for a week in the wild. And it's already had some external pull requests, so people are pretty interested in it. And basically what this does is it allows you to set up within Kubernetes. So if I jump back over here, because I'll show something in VS Code in a second. But within Kubernetes, typically I can use the kubectl and get my list of nodes, right? And you'll see here that I've got the sort of bare bones Kubernetes cluster set up from using the Azure Container Service. Mm-hmm. And what I have is a single master node and then three agent nodes. And the agent nodes are the ones that take all the work. Right? Yep. And I want to schedule containers. They're going to run on top of those agent nodes. And so what I can do with the connector is basically take a create a pod, which is the sort of the base primitive in Kubernetes, sort of the base container, and use that to set up a connection to Azure Container Instances that acts as effectively a virtual node. And so you'll see here, I've got this ACI connector pod, and so if I go ahead and schedule that, so I'll use kubectl create and ACI connector. That's going to go ahead and schedule a pod that's going to set up that virtual node. And so we can see kubectl get pods. You'll see this ACI connector pod that's spun up here. And then within a few seconds, if I go and pull the nodes, you'll see now, in addition to my three agent nodes, which again, those are my VMs that are running inside my subscription, there's this sort of virtual node for the ACI connector. And so what that's going to do is actually allow me to schedule through the Kubernetes API pods onto Azure Container Instances. So let's take a look at how that works. So I'm going to do kubectl create, and in this case, I'm going to do, again, our friend Nginx. That's going to create that, and if we go ahead and pull the pods again, there's Nginx. It's spinning up. While it's doing that, let's take a look at what this guy, let me just go here, look at what the Nginx pod looks like. So basically, in this, there's a few different ways that that you can get pods scheduled through the connector. So in this case, it's literally just hard coding to ACI connector saying, when I deploy this pod, always put it on the ACI connector node. So it's going to force it onto container instances. You can also set it up. In fact, we can look at this one here, the pod tolerations. Kubernetes has this beta feature known as tolerations and taints, which is basically where you can say, for a given node, you know, I'd prefer not to be scheduled on this thing, or I would prefer to be scheduled. And so what we've done is the ACI connector node has this taint, which says sort of by default, you know, don't schedule things here. But then you can say within the pod definition, and where is it here, that I am tolerant of that taint as a pod. I'm okay to go on that thing, that node that's a little bit weird, right? And so what that does is then when I go and schedule that pod, it'll say, okay, well, I can schedule you either on the main sort of worker agents that are VMs, or I can put you on this kind of weird ACI thing over here. And so that allows you to use that that ACI node as kind of an equal among the nodes.
Is there a way to say, hey, try to put me on the normal nodes first, and if there's no room, put me over?
And that's the third option. Yeah. Right. So if you're tolerant of that taint, then you can if the main nodes are fully booked, if you will, that it'll spill over into ACI. And so that's what enables those kind of spiky workload scenarios where Kubernetes can just say, like, oh, well, I'm full in my main set of nodes. I'm going to put you over here on this weird ACI thing.
So since ACI shows up as a regular node in Kubernetes, you can do all the things that regular Kubernetes can do with these taints and tolerations and labels, right?
Exactly right. So yeah, all of the power that you have in terms of Kubernetes scheduling and scaling and doing deployments and you know, rollouts, safe rollouts, all of that power that Kubernetes already provides, you can do that on top of ACI. And in fact, we can look at, if we do kubectl, I think it's describe, node ACI connector, you'll see all of the kind of standard information that you would see for a standard node, except this one's a little bit weird, right? Because it's sort of this infinite capacity kind of node. But yeah, this is the idea that we have here, and we're starting with Kubernetes, but we would really love to see connectors for other orchestration platforms. But the idea is basically, those orchestrators are very mature. They have a lot of power in terms of all of those things that we talked about. Let's not reinvent that within container instances. Let's leverage what's already been built and just provide that sort of bridging capability so you can take advantage of that power in terms of the orchestration API, but do it on top of effectively a sort of a serverless, if you will, container infrastructure.
Yeah, very cool.
Yep.
Awesome. Now, where can people go if they want to learn more information about ACI?
Yeah, so there's a few places they can read up. So we've got full documentation out on docs.microsoft.com.
Great. We'll make sure the links directly to that are below in the show notes.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll have we've got walkthroughs and tutorials and how-tos up there. Obviously, for the connector, go and check it out on GitHub. There's a full README in there for how you get started and some of the steps that I ran here. And then if you're interested in kind of putting it in context, our announcement blog is also a good place to read up because we kind of describe some of this framing that I'm talking about here in terms of what does container instances mean relative to orchestration and also some of the other announcements that we made around containers last week. So joining the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, for example.
Great. Yeah. And now, do you have a Twitter handle in case people want to reach out to you with questions?
Yeah, Sean MCKMSFT.
All right, we'll try and get that in the video and make sure we link off to us.
Yep.
We can get a hold of you. Well, Sean, thanks for showing us Azure Container Instances. You know, the per second billing and how easy it was for you to launch is really great stuff.
Cool. Glad you like it. And yeah, definitely give us feedback. It's in public preview now. We know we have a lot of learning to do. We'll probably rev the API based on customer feedback, continue to work on the connector. So you know, if you have issues, have questions, definitely reach out.
Where's the best place to do, like, should they reach out to you directly, or is there another good place to provide that feedback?
So I'm in the process of setting up a GitHub repo just for issues.
Okay.
So that people can report, you know, issues that they have with the API. But in the interim, definitely just reach out to me on Twitter and get questions answered.
Great. And once that GitHub repository is available, we'll make sure we include that link as well. Yeah. So thank you again for coming on. Appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for being here, Noah.
Thank you.
Everybody, thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us at Cloud Cover Show, and we'll see you next time.